Time for the Junks to head on over to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to John Keim, Commander's reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. Good morning, John. How are you?
What up, fellas? I'm tired from this travel already that hasn't even started.
Yeah. Right? And I got to imagine that, like, for those of us that don't go to the games, you know, it's pretty cool, I think, to have a Christmas Day game, 1 o'clock. You can still hang out, watch it with your family. Guy like you, guy like Grant, who likes to go to all the games, needs to be there to cover them. You got to be there at 9 a.m., 10 a.m., or whatever. It does kind of ruin the day for you, doesn't it?
Oh, you don't have a day for it. So, I mean, I'll leave my house by 8:15, and you're not getting home. I'm not getting home till like 8:30 at the earliest. So, you know, nobody likes to hear us complain. So that's just a matter of fact. That's my day on those days.
Yeah.
But even like with Thanksgiving, I have a very supportive, flexible spouse.
Right.
And so even Thanksgiving, we would celebrate it on Friday when we get home from Dallas. So this one, you know, we'll dance around it. The good thing, I will say this, for me, my kids are older. So, you know, it's different, right? You can do those things. You can be a little more flexible, so we'll be fine. But yeah, for little people with little kids, a little bit tougher.
Yeah. Just a little footnote. We've thrived on complaining for 30 years.
Yeah, it's kind of one of our cornerstones, John.
Yeah. You can make a good living doing it, buddy.
Well, my understanding is there's another employer at Odyssey who gets in trouble for complaining a lot. Maybe his nickname is the Rooster.
He's made a cottage industry out of it as well.
Listen,
so
I love Russell, but he's going to get goofed on no matter what he does.
That is true.
There's no getting around it.
So, John, is your passport updated? Or will you be making the trek to Madrid for week 11? I know I'm jumping way forward in the schedule, but that's one of the highlights is that the Commanders are being featured in an international game.
My passport is up to date, so I'll be good to go. And that's the one thing initially that you're dreading was possibly Brazil. Because that was not an enjoyable trip for people who went last year. And I love Spain, so that's a great one.
What were the issues with Brazil? I know that there, like, crime was a big thing as far as the league was concerned, as far as securing the teams. What were the hang-ups for media that was traveling?
Crime and traffic. Okay. And I know our reporter who was there, he told me it took him like 2 hours to go like 15 miles or something like that, to go from the hotel to the practice facility, you know, and they're just, I don't know, like there was, I think there were a lot of safety concerns as well. So not an ideal place. I don't understand that. But Spain 100 times better for what, you know, for anybody else. So that's going to be a great one.
So, John, I've kind of declared the Commanders the NFL's sexiest team. And I feel like it's somewhat vindicated with the way this schedule plays out. I don't know exactly, what is it, five primetime games? And then people are calling them standalone games, I guess, like, you know, like a 4:30 Fox
National
game.
National window games,
Yeah. So they're right up there with anybody else, and I think this schedule kind of proves that.
I mean, you know, someone here told me, you know, blame Jaden. Because, like, they're not only good, but they have one of the most exciting young players in the game.
Right.
So the combination of that, I think this is a franchise that people, you know, certainly now, I think it means something when they do well. Right. And it's better for the league, I think, when this team's better. And then you add Jaden Daniels on top of that, and he's a great face for the league as they move forward, you know? And so I think he's, you know, they're very marketable, which is, I laugh because, like, I still, every time I say this or talk about this, you think like 2 years ago, man, like, you know, look at where we are with this, but it's true. And I mean, he went overseas earlier this off season as part of NFL promotional stuff over to France. So they clearly understand or feel like they have something here in them and in this team and him.
So, John, for the creatures of habit that have watched this team for so long that are used to just turning on their TV at like 12:30 on a Sunday, getting ready for that. That standard 1 p.m. game. Yeah, it's not going to happen because from week 5 through week 13, they don't have a single 1 p.m. game on the slate. That's quite a departure for this team.
And it's, you know, seeing what I hear for me is like, God, you're not getting any sleep.
Yeah.
So, because that's just, that's a brutal stretch. But I also, but yeah, it's, they're only, what we have, there's like the first game is a 1 o'clock game, like three of the first four are 1 o'clock. So they kind of tease you, and then a couple of the last ones are 1 o'clock. That's fine. But yeah, that's a rough stretch. And I also wonder, just for the preparation for the team, how that affects them, right? Because they're traveling a lot of miles, and then it's just a different week when you're having those kind of games, you know, like in terms of recovery, et cetera, that what's the impact there? I felt like last year they were a very fresh team, and you wonder, will there be, I would say this too, like one of the things that I think Dan Quinn is very good at is like not letting things become excuses. And so I think whatever situation you have, you embrace it. But that's a challenging stretch for a couple of reasons, in addition to the teams that they're playing.
Yeah, and part of that stretch, I think the league actually took care of the Commanders here, whereas in years past, you would think the league didn't really do them any favors, because sandwiched around that international game, they have back-to-back home games against Seattle and Detroit.
Right.
Then they have the trip to Madrid. Then they've got a bye week. And then they come out of the bye with another home game.
Correct.
So, like, I think they actually, like looked into did some planning around there.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I think, you know, yeah, absolutely they did. And you know, those, yes, they did. I agree with that. And that's a help. And you have to have the bye afterwards. I mean, sometimes some teams request not to have it then. But, yeah, I think having the home games after that, before and after, definitely helps.
When you look at it from afar, John, I mean, obviously, I don't think the schedule is easy this year, right? It's gone up significantly from last year. But is there a stretch that you say, okay, this might be a better stretch for them, and then this might be maybe on paper a more difficult stretch? Certainly at the end, with closing out with like four division games.
Well, four division games, but also Denver and Minnesota. Like, yeah. Those are two good teams, and you're playing them back-to-back, and then you get into four straight division games. Like, that's a tough finish.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's the, like, the entire NFC East has tough schedules according to, you know, percentages from last year, right? Win percentage from last year. And I think of those four, I think the Commanders have the easiest of the hardest, if that makes sense. Like, but it's not, I mean, it is definitely a hard schedule. But, yeah, like that last stretch I think is really, really tough. I mean, you look at to open it up, you know, with the Giants and the Raiders and two of the first three at home, that's a good stretch. And even the Chargers, who is it? They're obviously a very good team, but you're playing on the road and you'll probably have a lot of fans there for you, right? Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't call that easy. But I think it's, you know, at least if it's a road game, you're going to be, it's not going to feel as much like a road game as some others. But I don't know that there's necessarily an easy stretch in this schedule.
I do like going to Green Bay. I'd rather go to Green Bay in September than November.
Well, for sure. Well, I will say this. One of the times they went there in September, it was like really cold, but it was late September. So not early, but yes, I agree. Listen, man, like there was the fear the other day of like, oh my God, they might play Green Bay on Christmas.
Mm.
And that would have been brutal for a lot of reasons, you know, in addition to the weather. And so to play them in September, it's like, yeah, this is great. So, but yes, I think for their sake too, it is. And, you know, even like the Giants early on, you know, getting a team that's made some changes and, you know,
I don't hate it
with quarterback. So I think that's fine. And, I think it's always hard with schedules because we don't know who's going to really be good, but I think you can look at some of these teams like, well, they're, you know, will the Bears be that much better? You know, how much better will Dallas be? with Dak back, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you who knows? I mean, it's Minnesota with JJ McCarthy. Will they be as good? Don't know. So there, it's
unlikely.
You know, it's hard. Yeah.
Hey, where do you stand now? A few weeks after the draft and free agency, et cetera. Like how good do you feel? Like how good did they do? How much better is this roster than a year ago?
I think it's definitely better.
Yeah.
Listen, man, the thing that I love is what they've done on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, to me, the best thing, because you now, and I was talking about this with someone yesterday, it's like you're now giving Jaden Daniels a line that he can really trust. If it gets to where they hope it gets to. Now, how long will it take Connolly to become an effective starter, right? It's hard to come in right away and be really, really good, but to be effective. And then Coleman moving to guard, like, you know, when does he kind of hit his stride, and when does Cosme get back?
Mm-hmm.
But that's one thing, like down the stretch, I think watching that group develop will be interesting. But, you know, getting Tunsil and all that, like, I really like what they've done there. If, let's say in the end, if Allegretti and Wiley are your backups, like that's really good depth. So
right.
I love what they've done there. Give him something he can trust more. Give him a speed guy in Jalen Lane that can maybe make some plays. Noah Brown back, Debo, et cetera. So I think like I really like that. Defensively, you know, I look at it and say, I think they'll be better against the run up front. I know we've all talked about edge rushers. By far the biggest issue was stopping the run. On paper, they feel pretty good about what they've done up front.
Right.
You know, I think you still be like, well, let's wait and see, because, you know, there were four number one picks in that group a couple of years ago, and we all thought they produced and they didn't. So you want to wait and see, but they've gotten better there. But how much better is a D? I mean, I like the Amos pick. I think that will help. But you know, I do think it's a better roster for sure. Is it enough where you say like, yeah, this team will definitely do this? Well, I don't know how many rosters are that way.
Yeah.
But I also think the last thing I'll say on that, I also felt like going into the offseason that to get to where the Eagles roster is, you probably need another year, another really good offseason. But we're also talking about getting to the level of the Super Bowl champion that has been really good for a few years. You know what I mean? So it's not, I don't think that's an insult to say that. I think that's
not going to happen overnight.
It's how good the Eagles roster is. Like, they've done a terrific job.
Well, you know, with the rumblings with Hendrickson and Cincinnati, it is intriguing, John, but I don't understand where we would get the capital. Like, we got five picks next year, right? I mean, I don't even understand how we could
most likely, they'll probably get a comp pick too. So, okay, we'll give them six. But I think it's, you know, it's that. And then, again, I was talking to a couple people yesterday about this too, who, like, they both brought the same point separately, which is you go and do that, and, you know, if you don't go and extend, you know, Terry, and you got Debo, you got Tunsil, who's going to want, like, you go and get Hendrickson and give him this monster deal, what's the ripple effect in the locker room if these other guys aren't taken care of? Like that. Now, that's a side thing, right? And if you have the right locker room, you can handle it. If you know you're going to get these things done, okay. I think that adds to some of what you'd say would be a complicating factor, perhaps.
Right.
But yeah, in terms of capital, like they don't have. The one thing they would have to hope is that the Bengals put themselves into a Trent Williams situation, which is,
anything.
He doesn't play that year. And then it's like you're gone, and now you get a third and a fifth for a guy who's, you know, really, really good.
Right.
John, thanks as always for the time. We know you're up late digesting that schedule. We appreciate you coming on early, man. Thanks again.
Of course. Thanks, guys. Always enjoy.
That's John Keim, Commanders reporter for ESPN. Don't forget, coming up at 8 o'clock, we will have our first schedule prediction of the year 2025. It won't be the last, but it will be the first. We'll do that at 8 o'clock. You're always welcome to text us throughout the show. The Junkies text line is brought to you by Lido Pizza, a local favorite since 1955, serving pizzas, subs, jumbo wings, and salads, and more. Lido Pizza is square because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com, text 1-800-636-1067. standard message and data charges may apply.
All right, so we've been doing mornings for how many years now? When did we start? Like 2002, 2003, something like that?
I mean, JP's the official show historian.
It's something like that. Something like that, right? So 22 plus years, we always said we wouldn't talk about sleep. I don't know how to sleep. I'm having difficulty sleeping. Valdez is telling me about all the drugs he takes.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to do all those drugs.
Yeah. I always recommend Benadryls.
I mean, a Benadryl once in a blue moon, I'm not averse to.
I'm the only one that doesn't take anything here, but I'm constantly tired.
Here's the thing. I've like ruined my shoulders the way I sleep. I think JP sleeps the same way. I'm not sure how Cake sleeps, but I sleep on my stomach or on my side. It's just brutal. It is literally like being in a car accident every day.
I have to assemble one pillow on my left and a certain angle and another one on my right.
No, when I say I don't sleep, I'm telling you, I'm waking up, I'd say on average 10 times a night. Like every hour.
Fractured sleep.
A couple times an hour. My shoulders are killing me. I have a question.
Okay. I probably don't have an answer, but
ahead. I'm sure some of our listeners might. Has anybody ever tried those pillows with like the tunnels where you put like your arm under? You know what I'm saying? Has anybody ever tried
those? I've seen those ads before. Has anybody ever tried?
Would that possibly work?
I don't know.
Are you waking up like in pain?
Oh, I'm in pain the whole night.
Is the pain waking you up or are you just waking up in pain?
I don't know. I think it's combo. Listen, I just have normal sort of anxiety about sleeping, but lately it's untenable. Like I literally fell asleep last week on Friday. I was drifting over on BW Parkway.
Is it your bad shoulder that you had the surgery on, or is it the other one, or is it both?
I can't remember. Yeah, no, it's a bad shoulder, but the shoulder's fine. It's not that. It's just I've injured it a little bit. And now just sleeping on it's compounding it. And I'm just not sleeping. And it's painful and it's brutal.
Might need to go to a doctor. Sleep doctor.
I don't really want to do that. I just want someone to tell me. I've considered buying a massage table because when you push, like I would need something with a hole in it. You know, if you put your face head down.
So
I
just
think I was,
sleeping in it? Nobody's going to massage you?
That's the desperation that I'm at.
Do you ever sleep with maybe your arm dangling over the edge?
Of course, never.
Never. Do you sleep on your belly?
That's what I'm saying. My belly and my side, both.
Belly's hurting.
I sleep on my stomach as well.
It's terrible. I would like to sleep like I was in a coffin.
Your spine is just screaming at
like
you
a
every
vampire.
Night.
I wish I could just sleep like this, and it would be so peaceful, but I can't.
Yeah, Count Bicula.
So, has anybody tried those pillows with the tunnels?
I've never even seen this contraption advertised.
It's like you're kind of like tilted up a little bit. I also have to have something elevate my head a little bit when I turn it to the side.
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean by a tunnel.
It's like a pillow, and then underneath it, like a tunnel where you put your arm through.
I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like laying with your face down.
I got
and
it.
Then it's so you're not putting your head on your arm.
Right, because your arm falls asleep, your shoulder gets jacked up.
I mean,
that's
got to be something you buy at like Brookstone, if that even still exists.
No, I mean, there's a million of them on Amazon.
There's like Temu contraptions.
But you can get like a cheapy for like $40 or something, or you get a big willy, it's like $200-$300.
Pricey.
I just want to know if I should get that. And again, I'm not averse to it. I have thought about just getting a massage table. Because
that would be your bed. That's where you would sleep.
Yeah, it has a hole in it, and I just would be more comfortable.
That is desperate. You're desperate times.
I am desperate.
Yeah, you're a desperate man.
Desperate. All right, let's go. Let me see. I've had sleep apnea. John, what's up?
Yeah, man, that's what it takes.
I've had a test before. I have some sleep apnea. There's no doubt about it. But it's gotten worse in the last few months.
Well, I mean, if you got it, you got it. So, you're not getting any younger.
Yeah, but I don't think it's that. I'm telling you, I'm in
pain.
He's
got structural problems with his shoulder.
I'm in pain.
He's had a labrum surgery before. So he probably has something going on, maybe with his rotator.
I think I've just injured it. I've injured it, and I'm compounding it by laying on it every night.
Trust me, I know.
I used to be
I used to sleep with my arms up over my head all the time.
Yes.
Because I've always waking up, trying to get comfortable.
Yes,
when I got on sleep apnea, I lay on my back. I forced myself to fall asleep.
Five to six hours stinks, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's when I live on about
5 hours. 5 to 6 hours uninterrupted, I would kill a human for that. I'm not sure I've ever gone recently more than 2 hours.
I sleep fairly uninterrupted. I just stay up too late.
We gotta get you trained to get off your tummy.
I can't. I've tried it.
It's hard when you've done it your whole life.
I can't.
Yeah. Probably I started in the crib.
I used to be a tummy guy.
He likes to sleep.
Do you sleep on your back
sticks.
Now?
Now I sleep on my back and maybe side.
Is that Wedding Crashers?
Yeah, tummy sticks. You're
the
a tummy sticks
guy. The only way
I
could sleep on my back is if I had 100 cocktails.
Yeah.
And I just
so
passed
much
out.
Snoring.
Yeah,
you're on
and
your
I
back.
Just passed out.
All
that was the
snoring.
Only way I could do it.
How does Cake sleep? You've got the
right side
so
exclusive.
When you lay on your right side, isn't your right shoulder jacked up?
My right shoulder is bazilli.
You don't
look. Full range of motion, silly. Good to go.
No, I mean, I can't even turn my head.
Pickleball, I'm good.
All right, let's go to Pete in Ashburn. Pete, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a solution for you, EB.
Yeah.
Have your guys do some research on it's called Earthing the Movie, and research grounding sheets.
All right, what are those?
You can plug them into the ground on your electrical socket.
Yeah.
It connects you to the earth. It sounds weird. I know it.
What does it do?
I sleep like a rock. It reduces inflammation, and it helps blood flow.
All right,
just wants to know if anybody slept with one of those pillows with the tunnel, which I've just seen.
It sounds too granola-y and crunchy for you.
I'm okay with that.
Sleep is so precious, I'd be willing to try anything.
Yeah. I know. Trust me, that's what I'm saying. I would literally sleep on a massage table. And those things probably are very uncomfortable, but it has that hole. It fits perfectly. Like, it's not painful to be on one. Let's go to Kevin, Chesterfield. Kevin, what's up?
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, great.
Hey, EB, I wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
My wife has shoulder surgery,
right,
and a torn labrum.
Right.
So I bought her one of these pillows. It was $249. She loves it.
And it works.
Yes, sir. She sleeps every night very well and wakes up with no pain.
Now,
she had a surgery too to correct things.
Yes, sir. Yep, she sure did.
Yeah, but my shoulder's not broken. It's just a little bit injured. It's nothing tragic. I had a labrum surgery 15 years ago. It's repaired. It's fine.
Hers was 8 years ago.
Yeah, but it's just all the weight, too, because I'm a big fatty. All the weight is on my shoulder. It's just taking its toll.
Yeah, it's adding up.
Yeah.
Hey, isn't her head elevated a little much, though? That's what kind of scares me.
Well, they have different. The one we bought has different adding pillows to it, so you can adjust it up and down.
Right.
And she fell in love with it. She sleeps every night with it. She's getting 8-9 hours of sleep where she was waking up every hour.
Right.
So it is. It's done a lot of good.
All right,
now,
give me a
favor. I can't stand it. I sleep on my back, so I can't use it.
That's, there you go, EB. That's a gift from God.
Adjustable side sleeper pillow with arm tunnels for shoulder pain. $238.
I know. I don't want to make that
exactly
commitment
right.
unless it's for sure going to help me. Can you send me a link? Hit me up on Twitter.
How many concoctions do you think you've bought over the years for sleep? So I don't know the exact total, but if you just think about it, we did nights for 5 years and we did middays for a year. So we're at 29. So 29.
I was also younger,
six.
Though. I had no problems.
You definitely did the heavy blanket for a while, right? The weighted blanket.
Weighted blanket. That thing got too heavy, though.
Were you sleeping with glasses?
I might need to break that out tonight for the Caps game because I'm a little terrified of the game. I might need to just hide under my weighted blanket.
Yeah, that's
were
just
you sleeping,
get to sleep.
You
that's
were sleeping with glasses for a while?
No, not sleep with them, but you do wear the glasses
you wear them as you wind down for the evening.
That's also an issue, too, to actually just fall asleep. But my issue now is waking up like 15 minutes after I fall asleep.
Mm. What about a nap? Because you do take naps. Do you have
not
a problem?
Not always.
But when you take a nap, do you sleep straight through?
Maybe better, but the nap is only an hour.
This
so it's
is
a
not
condensed
a realistic
thing.
Option. This is not a realistic option, but it should be.
Yeah.
We're at the point in medical science where they should be able to develop a little teeny tiny propofol pill that puts you to sleep But not permanently. Not like to put Michael Jackson.
You want me to put me out?
No. I'm talking about just like a little micro dose of propofol.
Yeah.
It puts you right to sleep and gets rid of all your anxiety and all, and you just drift off to sleep every night. Yeah. How have we not gotten to that point yet?
If it was healthy, hey, I would do it.
I don't know what
you said. You got a new thing.
Yeah. I started taking ashwagandha.
Okay, I don't.
What the heck is that?
I think that used to be a corner for the Eagles. Nam the Asabwa.
Ashwagandha.
You send me a link. I'm willing to try like an herb or something.
I take it before I go to sleep. It's two gummies. It's silly.
All right. Well,
it helps with your sleep anxiety, and I'm riddled with it.
Yeah.
I think we all have a healthy dose. An unhealthy dose of that.
I started taking it maybe like a week ago. Been the best sleep.
Did you get it from
life.
Amazon? Yeah,
taking Tylenol PM.
Yeah.
You're taking a friggin' magnesium, which I take.
Yeah.
You're taking melatonin. Yeah. Probably washing it down with a beer or two.
No, no alcohol to put me to sleep.
No?
It's ashwagandha, whatever you want to call it.
All right, silly. Send me a link to that.
Silly.
Is it Black Panther from there?
Did they do a movie about
Wakanda?
Wasn't he a prime minister or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's go to Omar in Fairfax. Omar, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Omar?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure.
So my tip is it's a pregnancy pillow. I don't know if you guys ever use that for your wives.
Is that the one?
I tore my bicep.
Yeah?
Sorry?
Is that the one with the tunnels? With the tunnels for your arms?
No, it doesn't have a tunnel. It's just this really big, long pillow. And so when you lie on it, you're on your side. It feels like you're sleeping on your stomach. And you got one arm on top, so your arm is a little bit elevated.
Yeah.
And it takes the pressure off of that.
Hey, there's nothing like feeling like a big fatty when you got to have a pregnancy pillow.
Yeah.
You're going to fall asleep.
I think we kind of have one of those, to be honest with you. We have one of those big-ass, long pillows that my wife and I fight over.
Yeah. Let's buy another one. So you're not fighting over it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Omar. Appreciate it. Let me see. Let's go to Paul in Great Falls.
Everybody's got an answer.
Well,
somehow.
Because sleeping is so critical.
It is
so
important.
Critical. Paul, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
So years ago, I had the problem where I sleep on my side also.
Yeah.
And I would wake up and my shoulders were like numb and tingling.
Yeah, it hurts. Painful. Everything.
Yeah, it was horrible every day. And I had a good, like, name brand quality mattress and stuff.
Right.
So then I ended up getting a Tempur-Pedic mattress.
Yeah.
And the difference, do you have something like that, or do you have a normal mattress?
No, I mean, I have a Sleep Number.
Okay, so with a Tempur-Pedic mattress, with that memory foam stuff,
yeah,
I still sleep on my side, but my shoulders, it accommodates your shoulders. So instead of all the pressure on your shoulder,
it relieves it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, it conforms to your body. And I never had that shoulder problem again. That's it, period. And then I got a neck pillow, not the kind that with the tunnel, but like, you know, a Tempur-Pedic type thing. That's
And that helps?
Yeah. That helps also. But you ought to see, I don't know how, but sleeping on your face, on your stomach is like the worst thing.
Yeah, it's like a car accident. It's like getting in a car accident every night.
Right. Yeah. And it messes up your spine. It's like there's almost, you just, maybe if there's some way to train yourself out of it.
You're on a bullet train of scoliosis by sleeping like that.
It's hard.
Thank
if
you,
you've been
Paul.
Doing it
Thank
your
you,
whole
buddy.
Life, because I know during a vacation week, I've tried to, like, all right, I'm going to start sleeping on my back. And hopefully it'll work. And after about 45 minutes to an hour, I'm like, let me just flip over to my stomach and I fall asleep instantly.
Yeah, I can't do it. I tried it.
My theory is it's however your mom puts you in the crib, right? Some kids are face down and then it becomes habit.
Let's go to, I don't know, is it Slidell?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
Doing great. What's up?
Hey, listen, man, I heard you say sleep apnea. I'm telling you, it's real, man. You need to put that CPAP machine on, man, because, I mean, that dream catcher, man, going to get you at least 3 or 4 hours. When you're getting up that many times, I know you may be experiencing a little pain, but with that Sleep Number, that should take care of it. But, man, you're getting up to 5 or 6 times a night, man. So you know, put that CPAP machine on, man, and catch them.
I couldn't do it.
I like how he calls it a dream. Calls it a dream catcher. It made me laugh.
Let me tell you, I tried that CPAP machine. You know, I did the test, and they said I had a little sleep apnea. They gave me the thing. I put the stupid hose on my face, and it's torture. I could never fall asleep. I tried it for like a month, 2 months. I don't know how cakes got accommodated to it.
So soothing. Just the extra white noise. It's perfect.
Yeah, but you don't use it when you spend the night.
See, he doesn't sleep on his stomach either. It's hard.
I don't take it on road trips. I do this. Roll that.
Yeah,
roll
because you're fine. It's fine. Bones. Not a big deal.
It's all good.
But he sleeps on his back or whatever.
I sleep on my right side exclusively.
So, you know,
I can't sleep on my back because I'll snore through the machine. I can't sleep on my stomach because that's for desperate people. I can't sleep on my left side because the beating of my heart is too loud in my brain. Have to sleep on my right side.
On your right side.
You can hear your heart beating?
Yes. Somehow over the ringing of my ears, I feel and hear my heartbeat, and it's right. Too distracting. I've told you guys this before. This is documented.
Yeah. Can you hear your heartbeat? I've never.
If I hear my heartbeat, I think he's locked in. I'm not locked in on that.
I'm more a doctor.
I'm more in tune with my body than you guys. I don't know what to tell you.
I know there's a guy here. Joe says a doobie would help. I don't want to do that. I have buddies that swear by like weed gummies. I don't really want to get into that. I got one buddy who literally, if he runs out of weed gummies, he's in a panic.
Yeah.
Like he'll rob a bank. Like that kind of panic if he doesn't have his weed gummies. I don't want to get into that. It seems like too much.
All right, coming up in just about 20 minutes, we will give our first run-through schedule predictions, our official first schedule prediction for the Commanders 2025 schedule. That is coming up at 8 a.m. here on The Fan. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by Tariq El-Bashir, Caps reporter for Monumental Sports Network, as the Caps prepare to take on Carolina in Game 5 tonight from Capital One Arena. So that's coming up at 9 o'clock. So we wanted to get into some audio here of Mike Greenberg talking about whether the NFL should do a draft lottery similar to the NBA's draft lottery to prevent teams from tanking and trying to get the number one overall pick. Here's Mike Greenberg on whether the NFL should adapt the NBA's model.
The Utah Jazz got the fifth pick last night. That means that the team with the worst record has now not selected first overall in seven straight seasons, coinciding with the start of the new lottery format. So when Adam Silver changed around, tweaked a few things there, he did it, and he came on the show and talked about it because he recognizes, as should every sports fan, tanking is a scourge. Tanking is a disgrace. Tanking runs contrary to literally everything sports is designed to be. Incentivizing losing is the worst mistake any sport can possibly make, any sports league can make. And as a result, I think it is great news. People saying, oh, this isn't working because the worst teams aren't getting the pick. Shut up. That's exactly the wrong way to look at it. This way, win games. Go out there and win games and see what happens. And you know what should happen? The NFL should add this?
Yes.
Every sport should add this. Yes. The lottery is a brilliant idea, and I would completely favor. I know Shefty was on talking about it on the radio this morning. I would absolutely be in favor of the NFL going to some sort of draft lottery so you stop with the tanking, which is the worst thing in sports.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's too rudimentary. His explanation is go out and win games. That's not possible for a lot of teams to just go out and simply win games when you're under talented and you're not picking at the top of drafts. Like it's too basic for me. His breakdown.
We all complained about the lottery. The thing is, they're trying to combat what happens in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Now in the NFL, I don't know that it happens as much, but it can happen to an extent. In the NBA, for a lot of these teams that stink, they'll shut it down like the last month. You don't even recognize. I remember one day, like I look at NBA box scores a lot. I didn't recognize any of the names in the starting lineup of the team. Like that they need to eliminate that from sports. So that's why they've created the lottery to hopefully de-incentivize tanking.
Yeah, but it hasn't really helped. I mean, we're in the middle of probably a 5 to 10 year odyssey of tanking. I don't see it changing anytime soon. We're going to tank again next year.
Maybe they'll have to rethink it if the worst teams aren't getting the top picks.
Well, they're not.
So I don't know that you need to do it in the NFL. I don't feel like there's this huge problem of tanking in the NFL. But
it does happen there are in the last games, couple weeks.
Yeah, there are games where you're like, well, they're pulling their starters. They're pulling.
Yeah, it's called let's kick the tires on X quarterback. That's how they disguise it.
They do, but they don't do it all season. They'll do it the last couple weeks.
It also happens from teams that are shutting down, though, players. Like, I mean, this has been happening for years and years. But one year, the Colts were undefeated. And they're like, well, what do? We want to rest our guys before the playoffs? They rested their guys.
Yeah.
Lost a game.
Yeah.
Lost their momentum. Didn't even win the Super Bowl that year.
I don't know. It just, I just don't like it. See, I think that, I agree with the premise. Tanking is for losers. It's against everything that sports is supposed to be. So I agree with the premise.
I just don't think I don't
but
know.
But it hasn't stopped people from tanking in the NBA.
But they you don't want to reward the teams that are completely shutting it down and shooting for that number one pick.
But like, what,
I think that's the whole premise. Don't reward them.
But if you're the Wizards, you're supposed to live in NBA purgatory forever
and win
34 games and try to get like the play-in seed?
No, you're supposed
to. That's awful.
No, you're supposed to be better at personnel. You're supposed to make better free agent signings, make better trades, and make better draft picks.
Why would free agents want to come here if they're winning 30 games every year?
I don't know. You got to figure out. You got to find a way.
I don't know if this is a good idea.
But just losing for years on years on years.
It's different in the NFL because it's. You can find the game-changing quarterback or game-changing position player in different rounds of the draft. Like, it's not always so top-heavy as it is in the NBA, where you have teams who are doing everything they can because there's that one diamond player in college that you want to go get. The NFL, it's different. The scouting's different. You can find a premier quarterback. It doesn't have to be the number one quarterback selected in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't hurt to pick near the top.
No, it doesn't hurt.
I mean, look at the Commanders' fortunes that have changed from picking Jaden at number two.
It doesn't hurt, but a franchise can find their quarterback for a decade in the late first round. In the second round.
What
in the third
pick
round.
Did the Jets have when they took Zach Wilson? Was that the second pick?
That was the second pick.
It didn't work out. So, I mean, it goes both ways.
I mean, Caleb was the consensus. Think if there was a lottery this past draft.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb was the consensus Cooper Flag of this draft. Everyone thought he was the number one rated quarterback prospect. And he so far he hasn't turned out to be the best quarterback in the draft. You could argue he's probably the third behind Bo Nix.
I'm not sure if the Commanders had him as the top ranked quarterback, but a lot of teams did.
Yeah.
To your point.
I mean, don't you think if they held the draft today, Jaden would be number one almost unanimously?
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's a lot of teams probably had Caleb ranked very high,
right?
And if they would have tanked for him, he wasn't the best player. In the NBA, it's different.
I wouldn't be shocked if the NFL does it, just because the NFL is so good at creating TV events. If the NFL did it, it'd be another highly rated show. Just like the schedule release has become this huge thing. This wasn't a huge thing 10 years ago.
You mean like the draft, if they did a lottery?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it would be massive.
It would be massive, of course. But I don't think it's a huge issue in the NFL, except for maybe the last couple of weeks. It might be an issue, you know, one or two games down the stretch. It's not like 82 games of just basically committing to losing, to not caring, maybe trying to develop your young players, which franchises are doing year in and year out. I mean, it makes the entire year miserable. I think in the NFL, we've seen it. You could turn around in 1 year. I mean,
Commanders went from 4 to 12.
Yeah.
It's also very different because, like, for instance, the start of this year, everyone probably thinks, well, Arch Manning, that's probably going to be the number one quarterback taken in next year's draft if the Saints have the number one pick. Heading into this year, Cam Ward wasn't the consensus number one quarterback coming out for the Titans, for anyone.
Right.
No one thought.
His way up there.
Yeah. No one thought Cam Ward would be the number one selected or even a first-round quarterback heading into the season.
That happens in basketball, though, too. I know the Cooper Flag was thought of as being the top pick all season long and before the season, but there are times where you're not sure who the number one pick's going to be. I think the same thing happens in the NFL.
I think if the NFL does it, it will simply be, yeah, just to, you know, highlight another week and, you know, and take over more of the off-season schedule, you know, and get ratings. But I don't think they have a problem. I don't think the NFL has a problem like the NBA. I think the NBA has a problem.
Greenberg does a national show, so the perspective was a little different than on this show. On this show, a lot of people were upset that the Wizards got hosed and ended up with the number 6 pick. And upset that the Dallas Mavericks, who had a 1.6% chance or whatever it was,
1.8,
landed the top pick.
Yeah.
Greenberg's perspective and some of the national people's perspective is, that's fantastic. They think it's fantastic that a team as low odds gets the number one pick because they do believe that de-incentivizes tanking.
I know, but it's not a big issue. I don't see tanking as an issue in the NFL. It might happen for 1 or 2 weeks at the end of the season. The NBA, it's a major problem as far as I'm concerned. You have teams that just from the beginning, that from the jump, they say, hey, you know what? We're not going to be good for 3 or 4 years, but just hang in there. It's crazy.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
It's crazy what they do in the NBA.
But we all kind of endorsed it when Washington started to do it.
Not this
except
guy.
Except now they didn't land the
still
pick.
Still endorsing.
Not this guy.
I see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's a little bit far off, but I can kind of see a faint light.
All right, problem is you got to nail your picks.
Yep. You have to do that. It's tougher when you're picking sixth instead of first or second. That's my point. When we come back, we will give our first official schedule prediction for the Commanders for 2025. The schedule came out last night. We're going to give you all the dubs and the L's next.